Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Kool-Aid drinkers, welcome back. And it's a big day, folks. It's a big day. The final cut down to the final roster. And we're going to talk all about it. But first, introducing the crew that's here with us today. Unfortunately, Big Z couldn't make it. But we have Bob.
Hello, hello.
And Red Dog.
Yo.
And I'm UJ. Greetings, everybody. So, hey, guys, what do you think? Let's just start out.
Super Bowl, that's what I think.
Well, yeah.
Exactly. Besides the point, go on.
But this is a big day. Final cut down to the 53. Well, there may be changes. We know that could happen still. But let's just look at what they did today. Bob, let's just start with you. Any surprises to you on this final roster?
Any surprises?
Or what was your biggest surprise on this roster? Let's put it that way.
I don't know. I thought they'd keep three quarterbacks, I guess, and they kept two. But looking back, it will make sense. They can add somebody later. But
yeah.
But they had to protect Hooker. So, I don't know. I didn't have any real big surprises that I saw. I was pretty pleased with the way it went down.
Okay. Red Dog, how about you?
I mean, I think Bob's not wrong. This was kind of a lackluster in terms of, like, major surprises. I think this roster – the biggest one – that was kind of a surprise, but it wasn't really because he's been cut most times he's tried for our roster, and that's Zylstra. I think a lot of people felt like he had a pretty good vibe for the roster this year, but once again, we did not want him on the 53, man.
Yeah, I know last time we talked about it, I know I predicted he'd make the team, and he did not, obviously. But I also predicted that Hesse would, and he did. So yeah. I'd say that's
no Mitchell.
A bit of a surprise, eh? You think?
It would have been more surprising if they like kept Mitchell and cut Zylstra or something like that. But like, they cut Mitchell and Zylstra and kept Hesse. I think Zylstra was more of a pass catcher than a tight end, a true tight end. And I just think they didn't want that for the fourth guy or third guy, really.
Yeah. Well, UJ, you're probably happy with that because you were kind of down on Mitchell and up on Hesse. So,
well, yeah, I actually was. In fact, Red Dog and I were talking about this earlier in the day that I think Mitchell was given every opportunity in the last couple of years to make this team and just never grabbed it. You know, I just never was impressed with anything he's done except for a catch here and there. But to me, he was given every opportunity to make this team and just did not. Take advantage.
It's like every Brad Holmes draft pick, pretty much, they get a pretty good run at the roster for like pretty much a couple of years. Yeah, he just never panned out. And he's gone. I think this was the right move. I think Mitchell just didn't have it. It was a bad sign when he was showing up sluggish to camp. This dude needed to show up ready to destroy, and it just never manifested for him.
Yeah, you know, these practice squad things too. I don't know if we got a chance of getting Zylstra back on a practice squad if no one picks him up, but I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I agree.
I'm kind of done with Mitchell, to be honest with you. He had his shot, and I don't think he ever showed anything. So, but three tight ends, I mean, I guess that's not too surprising. They went with three. But all three are dogs. It should be a good
dog.
They should be good players out there.
Hey, one other surprise. I mean, well, it's not a surprise, really. But, I mean, yesterday we all knew that Donovan Peoples-Jones was gone.
Right.
So that means And then Isaiah Williams made the squad, which I think is interesting because he's that guy's a scrapper, man. He's been just showing off in camp and like showing up. And
yep.
I'm just excited to see him in the NFL, see what he can do.
Yeah.
Me too, Bob. Like, I feel like he's really got like a dynamism to him. Like, he's very a very wiggly athlete, really hard to pin down, very shaky. Like, I just feel like every time he gets the ball, something like good probably will happen. And I don't think that'll stop when Jared Goff's throwing him the ball.
Yeah,
I'm excited about his spot.
I could see him breaking a couple kickoffs too this season. It seems like he's earned the returner position. I mean, we didn't see any of the starters. You know, we didn't see Leaf or any of those guys out there. But I think he's kind of earned the spot, if you ask me.
Yeah,
looks really good.
So
I know in like years past, I think Isaiah Williams would have been like, I can't wait to see. That's the most exciting thing you want to see in the start of the NFL season. But no, it's just edge of the roster.
Right.
I know.
We just want to see us get a Super Bowl. But
do you guys think we're a little thin at receiver? I mean, with just four? Is that probably going to change here in the near future?
Well, they did sign the guy from the Broncos, well, to the practice squad, I guess.
But, right.
Yeah, that's interesting.
What's his name?
Trinity Benson.
Trinity Benson. Oh, he's having PTSD.
I was just going to say they're reminding me of the Trinity Benson deal
like
a couple years
Patrick
ago.
Patrick or something.
Yeah. Tim Patrick is the guy.
A really Irish name.
Which, if Z were on here, he was predicting that or hoping.
Yeah, he
for
called
that
one.
And so he got that one. So he must be happy.
I think I'm slightly surprised.
That he's gone through the practice squad.
Yeah. I was going to say, slightly surprised he's in the practice squad, not on the roster. But I don't know.
Well, I'm glad he's on. I'm glad Isaiah Williams is on over him in the roster.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I agree.
Because he's been in camp and everything. I mean, if this Patrick guy is any good, you know, he's got to get up to speed on everything. And
yeah.
You don't need him.
I have a feeling it's partly because they're waiting for whatever reason to put Kaminsky on IR too. It seems like they're delaying that for whatever. I'm guessing it's some sort of bonus he gets for making like the initial 53 something. You never know with these weird. There's all kinds of little nuances to this time of year of how to string guys along, how to try to keep certain guys around, how to especially injury guys. Sometimes like there's ways to hide guys. So
Red Dog, I don't know if it is a salary thing, but if it is, that just shows how different this regime is compared to what it was before. They
absolutely
nickel and diming everybody, and now they want to make you hit your bonuses, you know, help them out. So.
Yeah. You're right, Bob. That's a good point. I mean,
it is a huge point.
Look, we alienated one of our greatest players ever in the history of the franchise just for over $1 million. I mean, come on, man. You know, they're a lot different, this regime. Sure.
What was who was it last year? Was it Reynolds or someone that caught like they force fed him to get him his bonus or whatever?
Oh yeah,
I
think it might have been Reynolds.
Josh, was it I think it was him because he hit like a certain mark. He got like his season bonus and they force fed him the rock. I love that. Like that's taking care of your guys.
Yeah,
and I think they appreciate that.
Hey, producer Kid Jay chimed in on the Patrick thing. He said about him being on the practice squad is because they probably want to test him out there and then they can elevate him 3 times before officially committing to him for the year. So,
hey,
interesting.
It's better for us. You
chose
know,
us for that for kind sure. of treatment. he must not be in that high demand though. If it's like, he's going to play that kind of like make the roster. I don't know a ton about the guy yet. Like, I know he's bigger body, but he's also coming off a couple of big injuries not too long ago.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he's not be highly sought after.
Well, we know he's Irish, and I don't know how many great Irish receivers there are in the league.
Black Irish.
Tim Patrick, so about as Irish as you get.
It's not a big move-the-needle, but the Lions do have a lot of cap space, so, you know, trade deadline deal, if they're heading into the playoffs, might be down the road, you know, picking up somebody. So they got some flexibility.
They just want that typical X receiver, one of those big body boys that can go out there and man the perimeter.
A couple of mild surprises, too, on the roster that I thought were mild surprises was they kept Neiman, the extra linebacker. Any thoughts on that, you guys?
Well, apparently that some people were calling that a little ahead of time because he wasn't even dressed for the final preseason game. So I guess that wasn't – they did project it just a little bit. But, I mean – he made an impression. Everyone, I remember, we all noticed him in that preseason game against the Giants.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, hey, that's pretty awesome. Well, I guess I'm mildly surprised. I didn't see it coming. I read about that after the fact, so
I didn't either. Well, it's sort of like the Pittman replacement, right? When we had Pittman, who was a extra linebacker, but he was a great special teams guy. So
I suppose
it's sort of the same role, I guess. And one other surprise to me was Strickland at the safety position. Is anybody else surprised by that one? I kind of was.
Yeah, just because usually preseason performances don't necessarily do a whole lot, and it made him on the roster. Was he even around until the last game of the preseason? Like, that was the first time I noticed him, and he was all over the place. And apparently, he turned heads of the staff too with that performance.
We had a couple of guys in that last game that turned heads, including that Summers guy who didn't make the cut. But Strickland did look quite good.
Is Strickland the first guy named Lauren to be on the Lions? Lauren Strickland.
We'll have to look Lauren. That one up. The first Lauren.
L-O-R-E-N. I don't know. It doesn't seem familiar.
I cannot think of another Lions player named Lauren.
He's probably the greatest Lauren we've had on the roster. I'd say
without a doubt, the greatest Lauren. All right.
All right. Sorry, guys.
No, that's good. That's important stuff.
It is important.
Okay. Now let's go to the kind of obvious big story, I think, here. Hendon Hooker winning the backup quarterback job.
You mean the story I told you months ago?
Well, you told us it was a fake competition. But
I mean, it went about as well as planned. It went to pretty much to a T. Like, this was what was expected and hoped to happen, and it worked out exactly how we hoped. Yeah. So.
How much do you think the last game went toward making that decision?
I think it helped.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, I think it was headed that way anyway. I mean, Hooker was on the roster no matter what, whether they kept Sudfeld
or not. Right.
Yeah.
But it might have helped them whether they wanted to take three quarterbacks, you know, like.
Right.
And he can obviously be a playmaker right away. I mean, he'll probably make mistakes because he's young, but hopefully they don't need to break glass and use him. But I think they like the upside and what he can do.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. A whole nother dimension. Sudfeld just, I don't know about you guys, but I'm done with the Sudfeld experiment. He can move on to other pastures, if you will. I'd rather keep Fromm in the practice squad and have the two young guys, you know, learning under tutelage of Ben Johnson and such. And besides, I mean, Campbell said some nice things about Fromm in that little speech he did the other day. Fromm came out of nowhere, basically learned the system overnight, goes in that game in the fourth quarter. Granted, it's the second and third string guys, but just look cool as a cucumber, man. Drove the team down the field. I don't know. It was kind of impressive, actually. So
yeah, just his demeanor and ability to just go in there and start slinging it. I mean, like you said, it was like the guys he played against. I don't know, almost all of them won't be on a roster this week. So his composure was undeniable. And Sudfeld, who's been here all camp, rarely ever showed much composure, honestly, unless he had Vaki sitting open in the flat. Like, just like Sudfeld was unimpressive in every way. I think maybe he's a good practice guy, but when the bullets are flying, he is not someone I would ever want to entrust our offense to. Whereas Fromm, he felt like maybe he can make some magic happen at least, but like he's probably going to get shredded too.
This part of the discussion makes me think we need game one to start. Just talking about Jake Fromm, nobody wants to see Jake.
No,
Fromm.
No. And we don't. No. We don't want to see Jake Fromm.
Do not want to see Jake.
But I mean, let's in reality, like you're excited about his upside and everything. We'll never see him play in the Lions.
God
game.
Willing.
Never will.
God willing. God willing. Right. God willing.
And,
but like when it comes to Sudfeld, that's just how bad he was that he made you want to never watch him play football again.
No, but just, I mean, I know you still got to have backups, right? And still, I'd like to think that my backup had some nice potential there, you know?
Some upside.
I mean, Hooker has a ton of upside, man. This kid, I think
he'll be a quality starter down the line.
Imagine him with our starting O-line and having a little time to throw, you know? Because I don't think he had much time to throw in that whole game, and he wound up running a lot. I think more out of necessity. But then also a couple times he stood in that pocket really nice, took a hit, completed the pass downfield. I don't know.
He definitely made me start doing the calculus of, like, okay, and, like, is, do we – it's, like, three Super Bowls with Goff and then, like, But then he's already like 30 at that point because he's a little older. Well, and it's like, and is he going to hang around waiting that long? You know,
well, we got him on a rookie deal, right? I don't know how many years to get that. In
well, we're deal. Year two now. Well,
third rounder. So
it's 4 years on a rookie deal. I think there's a fifth year option if you're a first round pick. But it's a four year deal. And he was just, third rounder?
Third rounder.
So. We'll need one of those games where like Goff just sits out and he gets to go and torch him. Then we can like trade him for a really nice thing like they did with Nate Flynn or whatever. The Packers all those years.
Yeah, the Packers used to do that, trade their backups, you know.
After they torched us in the game.
End of the season. I mean, the Patriots did that.
That Flynn should be ever grateful to the Lions. Grateful to the
Definitely.
Lions.
Absolutely.
What a game that was. Stafford had like five touchdowns.
That was an amazing game. That was New Year's Day, wasn't it? Lost. Wasn't that a New Year's Day game?
Oh, I think it was. Yeah. Frustrating.
Oh, my God, what a game that was. Yeah, Stafford had like 450 yards.
Yeah, Flynn it's crazy. Back 500
yards. It was just ridiculous.
Redonk.
So ridiculous. But it made him a rich man.
I don't think we're going to be giving up yards like that this year with this secondary.
No. You know what? This whole preseason, guys, we've been watching this preseason and talking about it and the cuts. But Campbell has deprived us. We haven't seen our starters play one play yet.
Not at all.
I mean, I'm itching, baby, to see our starters out there in the field. I cannot
imagine how they're feeling.
Yeah. Seriously.
Oh, baby.
I mean, that starting unit out there on the defense, man, Hutch, Lean.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Our new secondary. It's
good. What do the Rams do? Hey, Kid Jay, are you listening to us? Do the Rams play any of their starters in the preseason?
They did not play any of their starters. They were so adamant for the last preseason game that they didn't even play their backup quarterback. They didn't play Stetson Bennett.
All right.
They played
start out.
They did not play their starters typically at all.
Nice.
Well, we're all going to be fresh then. Eh?
Thank you.
Bunch of fresh players.
Yeah, I kind of like that strategy, though, because I know it helps to get some reps, but I don't want to see with the 17-game schedule now, too. You don't want these guys getting hurt doing this stupid preseason game.
That's why these joint practices are so good. You can get the close to live reps without risking the same amount, especially with the quarterbacks.
Right.
You can go 1v1s against other teams and get their best shots in a controlled environment. So I'm all for it. Keep the starters. Make the preseason the tryout like it is. It's the final, hurrah for these guys to show what they've been putting all this work into all camp. And I love that Dan Campbell appreciates them, by the way. Like he gave a nice said like spent a good like minute just appreciating the work these guys. All the guys that were about to be cut put in to, put a product on the field, listen, be coachable, all that. Like, it's got to be such a weird time of year for these guys, like these fringe roster floater guys. Like one day you could be back on your couch, next day in a different facility, on a different roster for 5 minutes until they drop you.
Yeah.
Like, that's
You know, it might
crazy.
Be cool if they got rid of the preseason and then did joint practices for every team. And then, televise those mic'd up.
You know what, Bob? That's actually a great idea.
That'd be cool if you could, go into the trenches and, hear what they're saying.
That'd be better than the preseason game.
That would be way better than a preseason game.
Yeah, I think good ratings, I would think. I would watch that.
But I think they'd get the ratings. They'll just lose whatever revenue is about filling the stadium up.
Yeah.
Because even though those stadiums are half full, they're sold out.
Yeah, how about the Lions though? The preseason game, they were loud, man.
Yeah,
in the fourth quarter, they got a false start out of it because in a preseason game,
that's incredible. That's incredible.
I love this culture. Like that's the kind of that's how the fans contribute. Like it's the same. Like these guys are feeling like Lions out there, man. They're getting that experience, and that's like that initiation. You know, it gets some of these rookies at least their toes wet to the NFL experience. So I don't totally hate the preseason, but I'm no lover of it either.
Yeah, but how about how hungry these fans are? And it's great that Campbell recognized it too. You know, he recognized how hungry this fan base is. And I think he lets these players know too, and they're all buying in. Let's face it, this team that wins the Super Bowl in this town is going to be immortal, man. Immortal.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
It's going to be great.
And even though Goff's a multi-millionaire, I'll buy the guy a drink when I
Me
see
Me too.
Him,
right. We'll get him hammered.
Yeah.
Oh, man. For sure.
Your money's no good here, Jared.
Yeah.
So what else? Anything else about the cutdowns, you guys? That
Corners went about as expected.
Yeah, I think corners went about exactly as expected.
That Stephen Gilmore, like, some people seemed surprised. That seemed obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't surprise me.
He was just getting torched, like, all preseason.
We got the Joseph brothers at safety, Kirby and Brandon.
That's right.
Oh.
And then...
Iffy, Strickland, Branch.
Manu.
O-line, like, I didn't see anything stand out. A couple of the gymnastics are going to have to pull with this roster, though. They're putting Martin on the IR for the four games, so he'll miss at least four games. So I don't know what that does to open a position. Then Kaminsky is actually still on this 53-man roster. So
yeah.
A lot of people think that Pico guy, is it his name Pico, defensive
will
tackle?
Will he signed again?
Pico de Gallo?
Pico de Gallo. They think he's going to still make the roster somehow. With if they do some juggling around, he might be back on it. So I don't know.
Stuff does happen.
That's a couple of people think.
What do you guys think? Who's going to be like some prime practice squatters out of this crew that just got cut away?
Well, as a personal thing, I hope TK's back on the practice squad, and I hope he has a long career on our practice squad if he's not going to make a roster, because I just love the kid. He just nothing but pure hustle and everything else, and I just like that he's a Lion, so...
I love him as a deep reservist too, like, because that, you know, what was it like only a few years ago where we had the injury bug and he was playing and scoring touchdowns and stuff for us in the regular season. Like, you, like, the thing is, you keep cutting him because you know you have guys that are technically better, but you also know if that guy steps on the field for you, he's going to be a productive wide receiver.
Right.
Like, it's almost like just painful to watch him keep getting cut, because I feel convinced that, like, if he was given, like, that treatment of, like, an Edelman or something, he'd be a really productive freaking NFL receiver. But, you know, he's just in a roster that's too deep.
I don't know about that, but...
I don't know.
I actually agree with that assessment. I think
every time he goes on the field, he catches the ball.
It's like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of another example of someone like that. Like, Zach Zenner or... like Brandon Inge on the Tigers. Remember, he was like everyone, the fan favorite, but he was never great. But
yeah, but you know what? A couple of years ago when we were struggling and he did see the roster for like half a season, and he was fairly productive, even threw a touchdown pass on one play, one trick play.
Yeah, that's true.
He'd be a good slot receiver if you didn't have the all-world slot receiver. Yeah. Like, you know, like I think he's a good player. I'm just saying
if he were that good, some other team would pick him up and he'd be starting, you know, if he was Julian Edelman. I mean,
yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's wishful thing. I just like the kid anyway, so good luck to him, whatever happens with him.
Does Edelman become Edelman if he doesn't become the featured piece of the Patriots? I swear, it takes that kind of like special opportunity for guys like that. Why was Edelman why did he become the featured piece? Was he that good, or like was it just that someone finally gave him the chance?
He was the ultimate safety valve, man. The guy was a good receiver.
They built the...
Yeah.
He was very good.
I just think TK's... I mean, he is really good. Maybe I'm being a little overly negative to Edelman. He was a really good player. But, like, still, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just need a certain type of opportunity. And Kennedy just hasn't gotten that yet.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
That's true.
What else we got, boys? I didn't see any. The guy, the running back for the Packers, is out for the season. One of their running backs. Who is it? Not Jacobs, but what's his name?
AJ Dillon.
Yeah.
Oh, the big boy.
Yeah. He got a neck injury, so he's out for the whole year.
Oh man, that sucks. Whole year? Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the worst when it's just your cut before their season's over, before it even began. Like, that's got to be so frustrating.
I know.
Well, let me ask you guys, if you're just a betting man, would you bet that before their first game of the season, we sign another receiver to the 53-man squad?
Does that count, Patrick, if we sign him up from the practice
squad?
Then, yes, I'd say we probably do.
Yeah, I don't know if since they made the Patrick move, I don't think they'll make another move now.
Yeah, but they still got to sign him to the active roster.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. If you know, if I'm looking at this roster though, there's only one position where I would like to add to, and that's receiver. Really, I mean, we seem pretty deep in all the other positions, and you have great starters, good backups. It seems seemingly almost everywhere, except receiver. We get four wide receivers. You know, one guy goes down, we're already in trouble. So,
I don't know about trouble.
Well,
but,
you know what I mean. We're going to be stressed a little bit. Put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. It's just like we also have all so many weapons and people who can do receiving roles, like Vaki, like Gibbs, like Laporta, that like I feel like we could easily find receivers from other parts of the roster that I'm not overly concerned if they don't have the WR next to their name, you know? Like, and I think that's kind of what the coaches feel probably a little bit. There's so many receiving threats in each position group that maybe they're not too concerned. I mean, I still think they're going to do something about it, but
including Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Good point, Bob. Never, we can't forget the big boys.
Yeah, say they're eligible. That's all.
Yes,
they did. So, Kid Jay, what do you think?
Let the enemy talk.
No, I know he's the enemy talking, but Kid Jay's very knowledgeable man.
I think the Lions, you know, roster is very well constructed. I think the wide receiver question will come up. It will definitely rear its head at some point in the season when, you know, like if somebody gets injured, then they're gonna have to rely on if Laporta's hamstring injury crops up again, and like they're not able to rely on him as their sort of like de facto like third receiver or second receiver. And they have to rely on the outside of JMO and Amon-Ra. I think that could be like an issue.
Khalif,
Gibbs. But overall, I think the roster is pretty well constructed. They might still need that second pass rusher. I think they're relying a lot on James Houston to provide that constant pressure they had 2 years ago. But overall, I think it's a pretty solid team.
Yeah, I thank you. Pretty much agree with you. Regarding the Houston thing, though, I'd like to address that Houston thing a little bit. Some people were in doubt that Houston would even make the squad, but Campbell likes his versatile guys, but he seems to be a one-trick pony. But a pretty good one-trick pony. So if he can do that job well, he showed flashes in that last preseason game too. He had a really sick inside move for a sack. In that game, so yeah, he can show up with those pass rushing moves.
Yeah, I think in an ideal world, I think Brad Holmes would like to upgrade that spot, you know, but he's dancing, you know, juggling a bunch of things.
Well, I think part of the reason why they moved him to Sam with that experiment was because I don't think the other edge across from Hutch is going to be, I think it's going to be like a heavy edge opposite of Hutch. I think they're going to run more like a weird like hybrid 3-4 where Hutch is one edge and then the opposite will be the Sam linebacker like Barnes. And I think you'll see a decent amount of pass rush pressure come from Barnes rushing the edge this year. I think that's why Houston was making that leap in part was because of, well, his build, obviously he's a little slighter for an edge, but like if he could just learn to do all that pass, I think they fully intended as a Sam to be rushing him plenty. He just wasn't have a more, you know, various responsibilities in coverage and things like that. And obviously he couldn't figure that out quite. But I think they're good. That Sam position, I would expect to see a decent amount of pressure come from there this year too. And you can't stop blitzing Iffy. He's too damn good at it.
Yeah, and I think like part of the reason why they signed like DJ Reader too, so like they can try to get less than like the double teams on Aiden Hutchinson. So he can, So DJ Reader can take those double teams, and Aiden Hutchinson can try to get those one-on-ones because I think he led the league in like pressures last year. I think converts like at least a few more of those pressures into sacks, it could be like a 17 sack season for him.
I think he was 37% of our pressures he represented, and like that was like a good like 20% higher than any other like top-notch guy or something like that. Way outsized his impact compared to like other pass rushers, like with pressures, though. Obviously, the sack numbers didn't quite click. But, like, yeah, I think you're exactly right about that kid, Jay. Reader's meant to help him and Aleem and the whole line just get less double teams.
And what are you going to do, double team Reader, double team Aleem at the same time? Double team
and
Hutch. You can't double team everybody.
Nope.
Yeah.
Going to make a choice somewhere.
I think it'll be particularly like important like the first like 6 weeks of the year as the rookie, Terry Arnold and Rake Straw get like familiar with the NFL game speed, because they've just been playing in practice against the Lions receivers, but they haven't seen like the ones on like any other teams in like game situations. So I think it'll take a little bit of time for them to get acclimated. Right. So having that like pressure will probably help like the first like 6 weeks of the year.
Hey, they saw the guy on the Giants, the rookie, who Malik Nabers.
Oh, yeah, Nabers put him through the works.
Yeah.
No, but I think this secondary is so talented, even though they're going to be some adjusting to the NFL receivers that they're going to face. I think they're going to be a lot stickier than previous combinations we've had out there the last 2 years. And I tell you, they can just get that line that extra second, you know, that extra 1 second, you know. How many more sacks would Hutch have? Yeah, that one more second, you know.
Oh yeah,
and my guy, I'm predicting is going to have a good year is Marcus Davenport. I haven't heard a lot about him in practice. They've said a few good things about him here and there, but been kind of seemingly quiet. But I have a feeling this guy's going to really be effective for us. So
I put him in like a cherry on top type category. Like anything he does good at all would be like a cherry on top. I have no expectations of him. My expectation probably errs closer to him missing most of the season. I love what his potential is and all that, but like I'm banking zero on him being the guy.
Yeah.
Like if he turns out great. Now Pascal, I have a much more like confidence. Maybe on the on his floor. Like I think he'll be out there and at least be stout on setting edges and stuff. I'd like to see him, you know, elevate as a pass rusher, but I think he can at least set an edge reliably, whereas Davenport, I just don't know he'll even be available yet.
Well, there's no doubt he has some injury history. There's no doubt.
I hope you're right about him, BJ, but Davenport is not a guy I was expecting too much from.
Well, you know, no, I know. When he's healthy in the past, he has been an absolute beast out there. Just incredible. Just watch some of his film and it's unbelievable. Again, it's staying healthy and staying motivated, I suppose, too. But if you can't get motivated on this team, then you just can't get motivated. Yes, me.
That's true.
This
is a highly motivated team. Everybody on this team is highly motivated.
Just listen to the kids that all got cut last week that came in for like one game, that Summers and stuff. Like, they all bought in so hard, so fast. Like, they were playing out of their minds out there. Like the esprit de corps on this team is so freaking high. Like, I agree. If you can't be motivated on this team, you're not on this team. Like, that's just the simple matter.
Basically.
Yeah.
So anything else on this roster would anybody like to add?
Sure enough.
I saw Broderick Martin was on the short-term IR. What happened?
Well, he strained his knee, hyperextension, I believe it was. And, I think out of just abundance of precaution, they're going to just sit him for four, get him all the way healthy. But I think it opens up the roster a little bit for some shenanigans there too. So
I will say, actually, one person I was mildly like surprised got cut was that Ukwu. I just don't know the way he was playing in that preseason. I felt like he might have really earned himself a spot on the roster. Like I thought they'd find a way. Like he was being kind of a wrecking ball out there, causing fumbles, getting sacks.
I have a feeling that was a hard cut for them.
Practice squad for sure, if possible. I'd say.
I think he's like one of the guys they want to bring back to the practice squad.
I think he's the undrafted rookie out of like Kentucky or something, right? Or Kansas. Either way, I think he's young. Keep developing that kid. Yeah. He showed some serious promise.
I'll bet they waited heavily though with him in Houston and just like Houston's upside as a pass rusher. That's my gut feeling, but I don't really know. But I don't know.
I'm not convinced Houston was as bubble-ish this season as everyone thought. Like, I like even Brad Holmes kind of like mentioned him as a guy that everyone forgot was on the roster a while back during like the GM meetings or whatever. And like, I think they're fully planning on seeing and helping. I think the Sam linebacker position would have optimized all his talent potentially to like make him a full rounded player. But I think they were planning on his explosive pass rush, however it came this season.
I don't think the fans forgot about Houston. I think everyone's been hyped on him. But he was on the bubble last year, too. Remember going into coming out of camp when the roster cuts?
People were thinking someone's bubbles. What, the writer's bubble?
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know.
He stayed around. He didn't cut him, and then he got hurt.
What about one thing? We were saying the receiver room is probably the thinnest or whatever, or the least depth. I mean, I think our starters are good.
Four.
Yeah.
But do you think that Holmes made a mistake in not just paying Josh Reynolds?
No.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know what it would cost, but it would have been nice, you know, you'd feel safe with him, I guess.
Unless it's fourth down in the NFC Championship game.
That's true. I mean, I'm okay with what they did.
I know. You're right, Bob. That's a tough one.
It is interesting because they didn't pay him a ton either. Like we could have matched it.
I wonder how deep that goes. Like, you know, a drop in a key situation like that. Is it like you think Camel and those guys just ate him up like, God damn it.
Yeah. I could see that, man.
You let us down, brother.
You dropped the ball.
You let us down no longer, my brother.
Line. He drops the ball. I mean.
And then he got even with him all offseason by just saying nothing but nice things about him. That's how angry Dan was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough, though.
I could see that, UJ. I might feel that way. And just.
I mean, they would never say it out loud or admit it. You know, ever, but
that is a hard one, though. You did like
that is such a hard one.
Talk about like where did you get let down? Like where was focus lost? Where did we fall short? And he fell short on two big ones.
Yeah, we'll never know.
Yes, well,
I do think DPJ was a disappointment this offseason by like all
Very
accounts.
Much.
I think they really had some high expectations and hopes for him. And he met none of them.
Wouldn't you love to get Campbell for a beer, like off mic, and just like, let's shoot the shit, man. Tell me what happened in that NFC Championship game. You
know, like, oh, man, yeah.
How pissed were you at Josh Reynolds? You know?
That would be great. That would be great.
Well,
we'll have to dream about it because it'll never happen. But
no, it'll never happen.
But,
you know, like I'd like to ask him how he comes up with his phrasing for his interviews because he's so crafty as a coach speak. Like for instance, he had everyone acting and thinking that like Sudfeld was still like had like an upper edge as late as like the last game of the preseason when he didn't play at all and then was promptly cut. Sudfeld's got the upper hand because of his experience. That's just his edge. Not saying he's using it well or anything like that. Like, he didn't say he's playing good on that edge. He just said he has that edge for whatever that was worth. Like, he made it seem, he's so brilliant at using, at letting you think, you know, there's a competition. Well, it was over.
Yeah, he's one of the better interviewers. I mean, I don't watch a lot of head coach interviews. I watch a few here and there.
And he's honest, so he just says
the other favorite guy is the guy from the Dolphins, but that's another story.
Oh, yeah.
But
I like him, too.
He's good.
But Campbell's awesome, though. I mean, he knows when to call a player out publicly. he does it so tactfully. And he plays mind games during his press conferences.
I kind of like it, yeah.
But he does it in a sort of straight-up way. I don't know, like, I don't know. He puts the balls in the players' court. He makes them accountable. Like, you know, he does make the guys accountable.
Like with J-Mo, you know, maybe he'll never be like the guy who catches everything, and like, you know, that's okay. J-Mo, you know, J-Mo's like this mother. Let's go. I'll show you. I'll catch them all.
That's right. Yes. Okay. Well, it's almost 2 weeks till our first game, boys.
Oh baby, we're about there.
Can't wait. I believe Kid J next week will be having a pod with our predictions for the first game of the regular season. September 8th, Sunday Night Football. Woo!
Woo
against the
baby.
Rams, baby. Stafford looking for revenge. Rams going
down. He ain't going to find it.
Yep. And UJ, I told you I'm going to the game, and was it you or Connor who texted, make sure you boo Stafford's kids?
That was Connor. Oh, Connor.
Yeah.
So,
I'm going to specifically boo him.
So, yeah. So I'll have to do that. I love Stafford, so I won't boo him, but I'll boo his kids, you know?
Yeah, they've done nothing for us. What's this? I don't remember them throwing touchdowns in the fourth quarter against the Browns with a broken shoulder. What the?
Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah, I can't wait, man. Big Z will be back with us next week. We will all be back with our predictions. We're tallying up in our minds. We're doing all the math. And by next week, we're going to have all the numbers for you, folks. All the numbers.
We're crunching them.
Yeah.
Crunching, baby. Crunching numbers.
Are we doing two episodes? I don't know. Because the preview of the Rams game will have Kid J in the Lion's Den. So that might be a little rough on the guy.
Ooh,
so.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, it's true. Good point there, Bob.
So hopefully he survives the Lions Den because we need him the rest of the season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just because he's our producer, don't reckon let him off easy. No way.
Yeah.
Yeah. No way, no hell.
Anything else, guys, before we wrap it up?
No. I think that's about it.
I think we're good.
Have you heard any good jokes lately? We should finish with a joke every time. This guy came to my door, tried to sell me a coffin. I said, that's the last thing I need.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, boy.
On that note.
All right.
On that note, Kid Jay, where can our fans out there see us and hear us and listen to us?
Follow us at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on Instagram, at Drinking Lions on Twitter, at DBK_Lions on YouTube, and email us if your heart desires at drinkingtheblueKoolaid@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's our producer.
I can't
man.
Believe you didn't memorize that.
Well, you know, I delegate. You know, sometimes you can delegate and it works really good. Kid Jay knows everything anyway. He knows it.
Since you listen to this pod, you should just share it with your entire contact list and just spread the good word about the.
It should be done.
If you do it first, Uncle Bobby.
Gauntlet's thrown.
All right.
Okay. All right, guys. Anything else before we wrap it up? All right. Well, special thanks to our producer, Kid J. Oh, we got to work on that one, boys. Thanks, Kid J. He's the best in the biz. No doubt about it.
He's the best.
And last but not least, but last but
as always,
go
team that will not yield, and when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave, rock, 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 go hard, win the game, with honor you will keep your fame, down the field and gain, a Lions victory,
go!
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.